So with your permission, we'll jump in, we'll get started. So we are starting to learn, starting a weekly series, learning Yalkut Yosef. We're starting from the very beginning, right? The title of the class, I guess, is, starting from scratch, essentially. We're starting the Yalkut Yosef from Hashkamat HaBoker. We're going to use the English Yalkut Yosef. I'm going to read in Hebrew, and I'm going to translate in English. Before we get started, obviously, tonight's class and all of the classes to follow is going to be for the Le'ilu Nishmat Ephraim Ben Yehuda. And I have to give credit, of course, to Benny Amatian, who was the founder of the class. Essentially, we had a Shabbaton a few weeks ago. The founder. And after the Shabbaton, or at the Shabbaton, I give a class. I guess Benny, he had a great idea. He says, why don't we start a Halachot Tefillah class with the Yalkut Yosef? I said, great idea. We're starting. 2 weeks. And we worked out some logistics. He gave his advice, and we moved it forward, Baruch Hashem. So you deserve all the credit, and Bezat Hashem, this should be for the Le'ilu Nishmat of your father, Bezat Hashem, that he should go higher and higher in Shamayim, Bezat Hashem. He's already sitting very high, but Bezat Hashem, it should raise him even higher and higher. Just before we begin, I want to give an introduction to the Yalkut Yosef that we're going to be learning. Who wrote the Yalkut Yosef in general? Who wrote the English Yalkut Yosef? It's an important difference to understand. And I want to explain the route that I'm going to be taking of how I'm going to give the class, because I don't want anyone to feel pressured. If you feel like you can't sit through an hour, I like the classes to be fun, enjoyable. You can ask questions. You know, if you want to interrupt me at any moment, it shouldn't be that I'm teaching and you have to sit there quietly for 1 hour. You want to stop and I prefer, like, I have another class tomorrow night with for the women, and the class, I don't even open the book. I sit down for 1.5 hours. They're just asking questions the whole time, halakhic questions. So that's what I prefer personally. I prefer you ask questions. Everything I'll teach you, of course, is according to Rabbi Ben Chaim. So it's our own customs, our own halachot, from our own chief halakhic authority. The Yalkut Yosef is... And we're going to introduce him right now. So I guess with the introduction, I'll explain kind of who was the Yalkut Yosef, where this came from. So the English Yalkut Yosef was written by Rabbi Yisrael Bitan. Rabbi Yisrael Bitan, basically, he wanted to compile a English book of halacha, making it easy for people to learn halacha, while, of course, keeping our Sephardic halachic authorities in place. Meaning to say, he took Rav Ovadia Yosef, who at the time was the chief halachic authority in Israel. He was the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel, and everything. Gaon Adir, Alav Shalom. And he took his thoughts of halacha and he wrote it. Now, who best explained the halacha like his father was his own son, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who today is the chief Sephardic, he's the chief rabbi of Israel, chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel as well. He wrote a book called Yalkut Yosef. Basically, Yosef is the, you know, is the family name. And he took a book, basically, he went through, starting to go through all topics in halacha, all the way from the beginning, starting with Hashkamat HaBoker, right when you do, when you wake up, going through all sections of halacha. So what Rav Yisrael Bitan did is he took Rav Yitzchak Yosef, Rav Ovadia's son, he took his Yalkut Yosef, and he took halachot from there and translated them into English, in a very clear and concise way to learn halacha. Now, what is important to understand in the English Yalkut Yosef is not everything written in the English Yalkut Yosef is sourced in the Hebrew Yalkut Yosef. Meaning, we will find some halachot that we'll learn that are not according to Rav Yitzchak Yosef, interestingly enough. Even though it's called Yalkut Yosef, there will be some halachot that are not from him specifically. Right? He'll bring, you'll see sometimes, and I'll point it out when we get there, Bezat Hashem, that sometimes you'll see he'll quote the Ben Ish Chai, or he'll quote the Mishnah Berurah, or quote different opinions that aren't necessarily how we would hold exactly the halacha, but most times it will be. And if there are any gritty detail differences, I'll bring those up, Bezat Hashem, as we go along. But it's just important to mention that the English and the Hebrew are a little bit different. Even, you know, if you've ever gone through the English Yalkut Yosef and you see on the bottom, they have footnotes. In these footnotes, they explain a lot of times where Rav Yisrael Bitan got his opinion from. So he'll say, you know, I got this from Rav Yitzchak Yosef. He sometimes will tweak a little bit, or he'll say, I took this, but I didn't copy it exactly, or I copied it exactly, and even though I'm quoting a different opinion, he'll explain. And so sometimes maybe we'll even look into a footnote one time or not to understand a little bit more in depth. There are many topics of halacha that we can go through, and we're going to start exactly from the beginning, talking about right when you wake up in the morning, the second you wake up, as a Jew, what are you supposed to do? the second you wake up. Now, of course, we're always told, modeh ani, this and that, but let's go through details. Every single detail, what you're supposed to do, halachically speaking, to be observing halacha the best way. Before I jump into the actual halachot, I also want to give an introduction to learning halacha. First of all, you can buy, whoever's not in the chat, you can join the chat on the barcode. When you join the chat, I'll send a link. You can buy the English Yaku Yosef yourself. And then you can follow along in English in the following week if you don't have one. If you do have one, yeah, you have a question? That's a good question. Is he still writing more? So in the actual English Yaku Yosef, it tells you all of the Amudei Halakha, the books that he's looking to write, or as looks that he was looking to write. So I mean, it started with this one. This is the first book, Hashkamah Boker. It went through Tzitzit, Tefillin, Tefillah, Brachot, Shabbat. It went through all of these already. I think he's already written all these. There's many more also that he's already written. I don't know if they're writing more. I know in the last like 3, 4, 5 years, they've already come out with some more like, Tefillin and all different types of things that have come out with. But I'm not sure if they're writing more. I'm not sure. I will tell you actually something very interesting is that when I was in yeshiva in Israel, this is now 6 years ago, I was there 6 years ago, I had some connection to halacha. I grew some love for halacha because I love to know what to do and I love to teach people what to do. It became like a niche for me. It's like I love to be someone who was like very young, but like I didn't know anything. While at the same time, I learned the halacha. I knew exactly what you're supposed to do and how if people had questions, you could teach them what to do. Because at the end of the day, and we'll learn about this a little bit before we jump in, is it's so important to learn halacha because if a person doesn't know halacha at the end of the day, you don't know, what does halacha mean? Halacha means the way you walk. Like comes from the word halach. The way you person walks, the way a person is supposed to act, the way a person is supposed to be accustomed to, if a person doesn't know how to do that, then how is he supposed to keep halacha? How is he supposed to keep your mitzvot? And we'll see that right now. He brings on page 25, he brings some paramount importance of studying Orach Chaim. Before we actually jump into that, I'll just give a quick introduction on something called the Shulchan Aruch. Has anybody ever heard of Shulchan Aruch? Who is the Shulchan Aruch written by? Rav Yosef Karo, right? Rav Yosef Karo was from the beginning of the Achronim, who lived 400 or 500 years ago. And he wrote a book called, first he wrote the Beit Yosef, and then transcribed into the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has four portions. There are four different portions of the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be studying Orach Chaim. Orach Chaim is essentially what you're supposed to do on a day-to-day basis of your life. How are you supposed to live your life? So you wake up in the morning, what do? You come to Kanisa, you come to pray, what do? You go to work, what do? You have this food, you want to make a bracha, what bracha do you make? What instance? If I made a bracha on this, do I make another bracha on that? All different halachot that come out in every single part of your day, the Shulchan Aruch became the custom halacha for Sephardim, for all Sephardics to learn, and this is what we keep as halacha today. So even when I say like we're going according to Rabbi Ben Chaim also goes according to Shulchan Aruch. There are some instances where he'll say, no, in this instance we don't necessarily hold like we don't accustom ourselves like what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, but in most instances we do. What the Yalkut Yosef did is he took the Siman, he went one, by each law he went in order, the same order that the Shulchan Aruch did, he went the exact same order, but he's bringing and compiling the halachot that are more practical. The Shulchan Aruch lived 400 or 500 years ago, so the halachot may be a little bit outdated for the way we're living life today. What the Yalkut Yosef did, who's living today, is he took those halachot and he says, I'm going to transcribe them to you in a way that they are the most practical for you to understand in today's day and age. So that you live your life today, you don't have to learn about a chicken who cuts his head off and the kid wants to play with the chicken's head on Shabbat. Is that allowed or not allowed? That has nothing to do with today. That's not practical. But in what terms would that be practical today? We're going to see as we dive in. One thing to mention on page 25, as I said, he brought some importance of learning halacha. And he quotes the opinion of the Derisha, who says that there are many working men who set aside time each day to study Talmud. They learn Gemara every day with Rashi, Tosfot, some even without that. They set time every day. They have a little bit of time every day to learn, and they set it to learn Gemara. And he says, but they don't study practical halakha. And he says, in my opinion, this is not a praiseworthy practice. The intelligent person will make sure to become fluent in practical halacha. And he goes on and on talking about how important it is to learn halacha. And to the extent that they asked the Rav Avadia Yosef one time, if a person has a limited amount of time in his day, where he's only able to learn one or the other, Gemara or halacha, this or halacha, Rav Avadia Yosef said, you should spend those 30 minutes that you have a day to learn halacha. Because if you don't, then at the end of your life, you don't know what to do. You can learn Gemara your whole life, but if you don't learn Halakha, you don't know what to do in a day in, day out. So the most important thing to learn is Halakha. Now obviously, all of the Halakha stems from the Gemara. But if you're not going to have enough time to learn both, and you only have enough time to learn one, Halakha is much more important to know exactly what to do. And that's the, you know, the conclusion of what he says exactly. Without any further delay, I think we'll jump right in. So on page 55, he starts the halachot. We're starting from Siman Aleph. Yeah, you have a question? So, very good question. Very good question. This section is actually one book. Hashkamah Boker, what you do in the morning and all of the blessings of the morning is one book. It's actually interesting that a full book was written on just pretty much the morning blessings. Like, we're not even going to get into tefillah until we finish this book. Now, the speed of how we go or the discussions of how you want to take it are up to you guys. It's really up to all of you. I can state one halakha and then that can, you know, transform into 100 different questions that you have about what you do in your actual tefillah. So it couldn't get, and I'm fine with that. You know, it doesn't have to stay in the book. I actually prefer it to be outside. But it's really up to you guys of how much inside you want to be, how much outside you want to be. But if, and I'm also open to hearing you guys say after 1 week, 2 weeks, saying, I prefer to learn more of the halachot of what we do in the actual kanisa or the halachot of tefillah. We can open up those things and learn those things also. You know, like, this is a trial. So we're trialing and we're going to, hopefully, B'ezrat Hashem will succeed. Okay, without any further delay, we'll jump in, we'll get started. He starts out, Itgaber ka'ari la'amod ba'bekir la'avodat boro. He says, a person should wake up early in the morning like a lion. You should wake up strong like a lion. Don't wake up like a, you know, as Rabbi Ben Chaim likes to say, don't wake up. Throughout the first book, we're also going to learn a lot of Musar. There's a lot of, you know, motivation, inspiration we're going to learn during this book. It's not just halakha. It's a lot of importance on pushing yourself too. It says, don't just wake up like a chatul, like a cat. You know, Rabbi Ben Chaim always tells us in the morning when he wakes up, he says, you know what he does? He puts his feet up on the bed and he does push-ups every morning. Da'inara. Every morning, Rabbi Ben Chaim. One time in shiur, he showed us. He showed us how he does it. Le'ayna. No, not at all. No, maybe he puts it on a chair or something. I don't know if it was the bed or the chair. But he thought, I said, why do you do that? So he says, you want to wake up? You don't want to wake up like a khatul. You want to wake up like a lion. Yeah, wake up. You can wake up with strength. So when he showed us in shiur how to do it, he's like, go down. Let me show you how to do it. So I went down. So I put my hands out like this. He goes, nah, don't do it like a cat. Put your hands like this. He's like, put your hands like fists, the way it should be. And he's like, this is how you're supposed to do it. He says, it helps with the strength in your hands, helps strengthen everything. Whatever. But the point is that you wake up with strong lion format. Shiyehu me'orer ha-shachar. It should be that you are waking up the morning, not the morning is waking you up. It's a very important line. It says, Kamo she'amar David ha-melech ha-shalom, David ha-melech says in Tehillim, Ura kevodi, ura hanevel v'chinor, ha'ir ha-shachar, ani me'ir ha-shachar, v'ein ha-shachar me'ir oti. David HaMelech says, my soul, wake up. Wake up from the lyre, from the harp. David HaMelech, he would sleep with some instruments on top of his bed that was like his alarm. He wouldn't sleep much, David HaMelech. And those, the wind would come and blow it, the Gemara says, and it would wake him up. And so he would tell himself, wake up, and you should wake up the morning. He was talking to himself. He was saying, I want to be the one that wakes up, not the morning to wake me up. Most people, they need the sunlight to come and wake them up. David HaMelech, his strength was, he was teaching us that you should be the one to wake the morning up. You should get up before the morning comes out. Now, Baruch Hashem, with the times change, it's a lot easier. Shouldn't be so hard to wake up before, I think, sunrise is 7:10. Shouldn't be so hard, right? 6:30 was pitch. Yeah, exactly. Bravo. See? Amazing. Yeah, you should wake up before the morning gets out. And he says, and this is actually, a lot of this is quoting even from the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Va'af yemisenu yitzro b'chorif lomar." Even in the winter, sometimes you get yetzerah. Yetzerah comes and says, "Ah, it's cold outside. It's dark outside. 6:30. It's still dark. Don't worry. Close your eyes a little." You know the yetzerah's tricks. Yetzerah. I actually gave a class maybe 6 months ago. I gave a class about fighting the yetzerah. And part of the class was the yetzerah. A lot of times he comes to you and he tells you, one more minute. Chimisha, one more minute. You know the one more minute trick? Yetzirah tells you 1 minute is, it's like 6:29 to like 6:30 to get. Pamisham. I'll get up 6:30, close your eyes, 7:30. Oh. To get, it's already 7:30, I already missed the train, I missed this, I missed that. To get one more minute, 8:30. Chishon, you missed 2 hours of the day already, just like that. 2 hours of mitzvot, gone. Don't let Yetzirah do that. That's what he's saying. He's saying, even in the winter when it's cold and it's dark outside and it's hard, don't let him take over. You take over. It says, Ech ta'amod baboker ki akor gadol. How can you wake up in the morning and it's so cold outside? Or if let's say, in the summer, he says, Ech ta'amod midatecha v'adayin lo savata min shenatecha. In the summer, the Yetzirah comes to you and he tells you, how are you going to get up? You didn't get enough sleep. Take a little bit more sleep. You need it for your energy. Yeah? You already got 8 hours of sleep. What do you need more for? Yeah, I completely agree that you need to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Each person is different, but you should get 6 to 8 hours of sleep. I'll tell you a personal story. I still do, but my doctors are telling me a little bit different, but I used to always get 6 hours of sleep, and 6 hours is perfectly is enough. It still is enough. But in the winter, I started to feel my immune system would get weak. I would get weak. Even though my body was able to function perfectly fine with 6 hours, I realized that when I was only getting 6 hours, my immune system was weak. I was getting a lot easily sick. And so my doctors were telling me that you need to sleep more. I said, but I don't feel like I need to sleep more. He says, no, you need to sleep more. So I tried it. I listened to them. I started sleeping a little bit more. And it helped. And it strengthened the immune system. Now, I'm not saying sleep more. You sleep 9 hours, 10 hours. You sleep 7.5 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. But if you sleep 6 to 8 hours, that should be enough in order for a person to be able to serve Hashem properly. And he says, "Itgaber alav v'yakum v'ad ishmado." You should get up from this yetzara, overcome the yetzara, and you know, don't listen to it. A lot of times they're teaching younger people, they have a much stronger Yetzirah. You get older, you have work and stuff like that, it becomes a lot easier. But I'll give you a nice example of where the Yetzirah will come in. When it's a work day, and you have to catch a train, or like this, or like that, it's a lot easier to get up. Because it's money talks. But when Shabbat arrives, that's when the real test comes. Right? So should I wake up at 8 o'clock? Should I wake up at 9 o'clock? And you close your eyes and 9:15, 9:30. Every blink, and it's like a whole science behind it. Because the Yetzirah, he's literally holding you asleep. And the second you open your eyes, he's like, just close your eyes one more minute. There was a story about the Chafetz Chaim one time in his older age. The Chafetz Chaim used to wake up every day for nets. He would pray at sunrise. One day, he woke up and he was very tired, very old. So the Yetzirah came to him. He says, Hagaon, the Chafetz Chaim. He says, your honor, you're old. You're above 80 years old. You're tired. You're exhausted. It's early in the morning. It's dark outside. Why do you need to get up now? Close your eyes a few more minutes. Get a little bit more rest. So you have more energy to serve Hashem. Chavetz Chaim says, you're saying, I'm old? Chavetz Chaim looks at him and says, Yetzirah, you were created much earlier than I was. You're much older than me and you're awake. He gets up and he overcomes the Yetzirah. This is the story they say about the Chavetz Chaim. This is a nice mashal. But the idea is, it's true. The Yetzirah comes to us in so many different ways to hold us back. And you may think like, okay, but why is that a Yetzirah? No, it is. Because every moment you have awake, you're able to attain mitzvot. When you're sleeping, it's like, they say when someone's sleeping, it's like 1/60th of death. Because you have no way to attain any mitzvot. You're not capable of attaining mitzvot. But when you wake up, now your mitzvot, your opportunity to start mitzvot, it starts. Umiyad she'adam ne'or mishinato baboker. Right when you wake up in the morning, miyad yachshov v'nafsho, you should think, ilu haya nitzrach la'amod l'sha'er lifnei melech basar v'adam. Let's say there was a king you had to go serve. You had to go stand in front of a king. It says, "Kama yas zahir v'zariz la'amod v'ashkaman la'achin atzmo v'avodato." How quick would you get up to go and get ready and prepared to serve that king? It says, "Kol shekenu v'kal v'chomer ben benosha kal v'chomer lifnei melech malchei malchim hakadosh baruch hu." How much more so the king of all kings, the king of the world, the Borei Olam. We have to serve him every single day. He says you should always think this when you wake up in the morning. The first second you wake up, your thought should be, "I have to serve Hashem. Time to serve Hashem." This should be the inspiration for you to jump out of your bed. Then he gets into the famous Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Halakha Bet, Halakha 2. Yehuda ben Tema says, Heve az kanamer, you should be bold as a leopard, and we'll go through it. Vekal kanesher, and you should be light as an eagle. Ratz katsevi, you should be fast, swift like a deer. Vegibor ka'ari, and brave and mighty like a lion. La'asor son avicha shvashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. Says Prat Arba Dvarim Babodata Borei Barach. These are four basic aspects of serving Hashem. Vehitchil be'az kanamer. He started by talking about being bold as a leopard, and he says Lefishu klal gadol b'avodat Borei Barach. He says it's a very important rule in serving Hashem is being bold like a leopard. What does that mean? Lefishu pe'amim adam chafes la'asod mitzvah v'nimnam la'asotah. Sometimes, person. he has a desire to do a mitzvah. He has a mitzvah at his hand. But he says, I'll do it later. It's okay, I don't have to do it now. And he pushes it off. Or let's say, for example, he has a mitzvah he can do, but people make fun of him. So, you do this. I had one time, it was a married lady, she came to me, she was crying. What's going on? She said, I go to Kanisa, I go to pray. And when I pray in Kanisa, the people next to me, the women next to me, they make fun of me. Make fun of you because of what? Because they make fun of me because I'm praying. Levanti said, make fun of you because you're praying. What are you do? What are you supposed to do in the Kanisa? He says, no, they all come to talk and the chach chach and all this. I come, I open the siddur, they all start making fun of me. I said, this is the halakha is talking to you. He says, when someone comes and he wants to do a mitzvah or do something and people make fun of them, he wants to do something that maybe family members are not accustomed to or they're not prepared for. He comes to do Havdalah, fanatika, this is not for us, this is for the fanatics. Any type of mitzvah, right? There's so many things. So he says, don't be afraid. He says, "Ve'alken hizir she'ta'iz panecha keneged amaligin." You should be bold like a leopard against those people who make fun. He says, "Ve'al timnam la'asot ha'mitzvah." Don't hold yourself back from doing the mitzvah. You should run to do the mitzvah. V'chen amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai le'talmidav. This is what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students. So he said, "Yeratzon she'tem moras shamayim alachim kemor vasav adam." Says it should be the will of Hashem that the moras shamayim, the fear of heaven on you, should be like mora basar vadam. Should be like the fear that you have of human beings. You know, that feeling you have when someone sees what you're going to do. They see how you're going to perform in something. Your expectations, someone has expectations of you. An in-law, family member, brother, sister, sibling, parent, they have expectations of you. You're a lot more scared to make sure you reach those expectations. So he says, your fear of Hashem should be like that. Just like you fear this person who has expectations of you, how much more so you should fear Hashem, that you should be able to run to do His will. V'chenu omer le'inyan ha'busha, same thing for embarrassment. Shepa'amim adam mitbayesh b'nei adam yoter mimashu mitbayesh b'nei ha'borei itbarach. Sometimes you get more embarrassed from a person than you get embarrassed from Hashem. Alken hizir sh'ta'iz metzachecha k'negem alim. So you should raise your forehead and be bold and don't be afraid. V'lo tibosh, don't be embarrassed. And this is also what David HaMelech says, David HaMelech said, I speak about your statues in Hashem in the presence of kings. He goes and says, Moshe Rabbeinu went and stood in front of Paro, started talking about Hashem. He says, you talk about Hashem and don't be afraid. Not afraid of nothing. I have someone I work with in one of the employees in my office, that sometimes I stop in his office, I have a conversation with him. He's a non-Jew. But I go in and every time I talk to him, somehow the conversation starts talking about God. We always start talking about Hashem. He always brings up the conversation and starts asking me questions. He knows I'm a rabbi. He starts asking me questions and we start getting into a very deep conversation, philosophical conversations about God. And he told me this past week, he goes, every time I see you, you make me start thinking deeper. And you bring a smile to my face. This is what he said to me. He said, don't be afraid of anybody. You stand up for what Hashem believes in. And he says, "Af ki hayad nirdaf uborach mina ben haumot." David HaMelech was running away from nations, kings trying to kill him, nations trying to kill David HaMelech. Hayam machazik b'torato velomed. He would hold on to his Torah and he would learn. Af ki hayu malgim alav. People would make fun of him, people would laugh at him. Nothing. Don't be afraid. People make fun of you, you keep the mitzvot. Ve'al kol panim lo itkotet emayim. But don't fight with them. You should never fight with people who are trying to make fun. You do you. Pnei shemidata azud megunahu meod. Says this character of being bold is not a character that you should accustom in all instances. You shouldn't even use it when serving Hashem. Because what will happen is you will become like that even when you're not serving Hashem. And then you become like a fierce type of person. That's not a good character. But he says, don't be afraid of people. You should be bold if people try to make fun of you, and you should stand up for what's right. Never stand down if you know what's right. Now we'll go through this Mishnah, what he explained. Be bold like a leopard. You should be light like an eagle, swift like a deer, and you should be strong like a lion. Let's go through each part. He said, you should be bold like a leopard. What does this mean? V'amar kal kanesher. No, you should be light like an eagle. What does it mean? Keneged re'ota ayin. Like the eyesight of an eagle. Why is it similar to an eagle? Because a nesher shat be'avir, when an eagle flies in the air, kach hu re'ot ha'ayin, that's the same thing of the eyesight. Lumar, what does that mean? She'ta'atzim einecha merot bera, meaning an eagle, they can see at great distances. They're able to see very long, far distances. So to your eyes, you're able to see very much. You're able to see a lot of distance. He says, so at times what you need to do is you need to close your eyes from seeing the bad. When your eyes looking at the bad is the beginning part of sinning. How sin works is your eyes see something, thinks bad, the heart has a desire, and the rest, the body takes over the rest. This is how sin works. Your eyes see something you shouldn't look at, your heart desires it, the body runs after it. So the key is, like we say in Shema Yisrael, lo taturu acharei levavchem acharei nechem. Don't run after what your eyes see. Close your eyes. Don't let your eyes see those things. Then we get into gibor ka'ari. Be brave like a lion. This is keneged halev. It's talking about the heart. Ki ha'gvura b'avodat ha'boreit barach ki belev amar shetechazeg li v'echa b'odato. You should be strong in your service Hashem in your heart. V'amarat katzevi. You should be swift like a deer. Keneged ha'raglayim sh'raglecha letov y'ra'utzu. That's your legs. That you should use your legs to run to perform the will of Hashem. There's a mitzvah for a person to run to Kanisa. Even on Shabbat, when a person is not allowed to exercise, per se, for refuah, for health, but to run, to go and do a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do. You're always allowed to run to do a mitzvah. That's what we pray for. David HaMelech would pray for this. And he would say, Hadricheinu mitiv mitzvotecha, raglaim, he would pray for his legs, and then he would pray for his heart, Hadlibi. And then he would pray, Haver enai merot shav. He would pray to Hashem, block my eyes from seeing the bad. Don't let me see these things even. He wouldn't ask Hashem, deviate me. Block, I don't want to even see the bad. Only show me the good in my eyes. And then he explains, not to get into so much detail, but he explains why it words it in such a way. We'll jump now to actual halachot. Halacha gimel. Yes, zahir me'od lakum kodem zman tfila. You should be very careful to wake up in the morning before the time of your tefillah. You go to pray at, I don't know what time everyone prays, you pray at 7 o'clock, 7:45, 8:15, whatever time you pray, you shouldn't wake up right when the minyan is starting, right before the minyan is starting, and run out of the house. The halacha says, you should give yourself enough time to be able to prepare yourself and make sure you do your needs, take care of your needs. If a person needs to relieve themselves, a person needs to use the restroom, a person needs to wash himself up, some people shower before they come to Kanisa, some people, whatever needs you do, calculate how much time you need in the morning to prepare and take care of your needs before you do that. It shouldn't be that a person wakes up 10 minutes before the tefillah and he runs there, and by the time he gets there his head is all in different places. You should give yourself enough time to come before you pray. Tzarech ha'adam halakha 4 she'yeh etzlo beteva vehergel temidi larutz ledvar mitzvah. It should become something common to you that you should run to do mitzvot. There's some people, they live life like kings. They sleep in late. You know the people that sleep in late? It says, and they stay in their houses, relax, no rush. And then all of a sudden they look at their watch, oh, 8:15, I have to get to minyan, I'm late, they start running. Why put yourself in that situation that you're always late for minyan? I had somebody once, he came to me, he asked me, what do I do if I come late to minyan, and do I catch up? How do I catch up? I said, then I see, he asked me again, and again, and again. I said, this happening to you every day, it doesn't make sense. He says, yeah, look, every day, I'm going to this minyan, I wake up 20 minutes before, I do all my needs, every day I get there late. I said, Habibi, you're not giving yourself enough time to get there. Says these halachot are written for somebody who tries and he gets there late, not for somebody who plans to get there late. You can't just intend to go late to Kanisa. That's not how it works. You have to prepare yourself properly to have enough time, and then you Hashem, if something happens and you have to, you know, there's always a famous thing everyone always says, if you have your wife, you have little kids and stuff like that, you're always going to be late. Because no matter what, something last minute will always pop up. So always give yourself that extra 10-minute buffer time. You always need the extra 10-minute buffer time. It's a rule. Without that, you're always going to be late. So prepare yourself properly to get there on time. This is not, he says, this is not proper. This is not a proper character for a person to always be going late. In Persian, we say del bozorg. Don't be del bozorg. My parents always told me when I was, before I was even born, they knew I was del kuchik. I came out before my due date. He said, you were delkujik from the start, everything, and I love to be early to things. But then I learned, I said, it's not that I love for it, it's that Hashem loves it. Hashem loves that we be early for things. Hashem doesn't like that we would go late. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Ki afsharim otam ratzim mizdarzim. Says a lot of times you see people, they're running to Kani, says, oh wow, what a tzaddik. But you don't realize he's only running because he's always late. He's always running because he's late to Minyan, and that's why he's running. They're trying to get there in time. And he says, you should at the very least be, you should rush to make sure you are quick in getting to your mitzvot and Torah and tefillah. Don't be someone who sits back and enjoys and relax and, oh, I love sleep. You know when people say, I love sleep? Me personally, I hate sleep. If I had to choose, if I had to ask Hashem, give me energy, I don't have to sleep, I would prefer that. What's sleep? Sleep is only giving our neshama ability to be able to get more energy, our body and neshama more energy, that we can come back and start up again. But it's not, you love sleep, that means you love not to be active. Why would a person love sleep? Val yifateo yitzro leitrashel biglal oshro nechasav. Don't let the Yetzirah trick you, says, oh, you're wealthy, don't worry, you can sleep. Don't worry. Because Hashem can flip Chas V'Shalom everything in one shot. We've heard so many stories of people, you know, Rabbi Chaim would always tell us stories of people back in Iran. There were people with gava, they would walk around with their shoulders out. People come and ask for charity. Ah, get out of my face. When they came to America, those are the people knocking on people's doors asking for charity. It says, you think you're everything. In 1 second, Hashem can snap his fingers and everything changes. We know all the blessing comes from Hashem. It says, don't for 1 second fall in the Yetzirah's tricks. V'ilu Torah u'schara umdin la'ad. Says, your money that you have, your wealth that you have, it stays here. It doesn't come with you. The Torah and mitzvot that you do, that comes with you. So what are you going to run after? You're going to stay in bed when it's a Shabbat because you don't have work, you don't have money to make. Or you're going to say, no, the opposite. Shabbat is my one time that I don't have to run to catch a train. Let me wake up and use that same time that I usually would run to catch the train. Let me use that time to learn Torah. Let me use that time to do mitzvot. Let me use that time to help my wife. That's what you should be doing. Now we get into the halakha of Modeh Ani. Right away when you wake up, Tov lomar tekef bekumo, it's good to say when you wake up, Modeh Ani lefanecha, thank you Hashem, Melech Chai v'Kayam, the King of the world, Shechazarta bi nishmati bechemla, you returned my soul to me with compassion, Rabba emunatecha, with love, abundant trust and faith that you have in us. I had a question on this Modeh Ani. Every morning you wake up, we say, Rabba emunatecha. What does that mean? Hashem has faith in us. We always say, we have emunah in Hashem. What does it mean Hashem has emunah in us? You ever think about this? We say this every day. I've said this before a few times, so I apologize if you heard this. But I always say a parable. There's a guy that has a Lamborghini. Light green Lamborghini. He's in love with his car. His best friend. He loves him more than his wife. Every day he goes outside. You know that guy's always like shining the car. He's always like in the morning, 7 a.m. Instead of like being in with his wife, he's like washing the car, bathing the car, sleeping with the car, everything. Hamachi. One day his friend comes and knocks on the door. He says, can I ask you for a favor? He says, can I take your car for a spin? He goes, look, I don't know. He says, ask me for my wife, maybe. Ask me for my car, I don't know. This, I don't know. He's fighting with him. Please, one spin right around the corner, this and that. He says, okay, fine. But don't crash the car. There's no problem. He goes around the corner, he gets a stop sign, he hears the engine, he hears the vroom. He gets a stop sign, looks down at his phone, he keeps going, tach, gets in a car accident. He pulls around the corner, he's so scared of his friend. He pulls into the driveway, the friend comes out, he sees what he did to his car, he starts cursing him out, how could you do such a thing? Are you crazy? You know how much I spent on this car. You know how much time I spent with this car. You know how much I love this car. What you did, cursing the guy out. Get out of my face. He sent the car to repairs. Anyone who's ever been in a car accident, you understand. Even when you send the car for repairs and it comes back, the car is never the same again. A brand new car and a crashed car fixed, it's never the same. Never the same. After 6 months of repairs, hundreds of thousands of dollars to fix it, he gets the car back. The car is not the same anymore. Doesn't feel the same. But he has his car again. The friend comes over and knocks on the door. He opens the door. He says, how can I help you? He says, I came to apologize for what I did. I'm so sorry that I crashed your car. He says, can I ask you for one more favor? Can I take the car for one more spin? What do you think this guy's going to respond? Hey, Korechar, you have 5 seconds to get off my property. What one more spin? Another spin, I'm calling the police. Hashem is not like that. Every day we sin. Every day we take this Lamborghini, this soul of ours that He gives to us, and we destroy it and we break it. Every day, b'chemla rabba munatecha. Every day Hashem has faith in us. He gives it back to us. Why? Because He has faith in each and every one of us. He says, I believe that you can be better. Hashem is not like basar vadam. He's not like a human being who says, I can't be forgiving. Hashem forgives us and lets it go and He gives it back to us. That's what it means. Hashem has faith in us. When you wake up in the morning, the first line you say, it should give you chills, saying, wow, I'm alive. That means that Hashem has faith in me that I can be the best. I can be the best version of me. Just that feeling in and of itself should give you the inspiration to be the best you can be. That's what your first thought should be when you wake up. You say, Modeh Ani. This is the thought that you should have. Yes.
Oh,
very good. So this is what he's going to talk about. Are you allowed to say Modeh Ani before you wash your hands? Very good question. So we're going to learn this right now. Here. You don't need to wash your hands or wash up before you do Modeh Ani. Even though your hands are dirty and your body is dirty, you're allowed to say it. Why? You don't have Hashem's name in this. Because you don't have Hashem's name, you're just saying thank you. Therefore, it's just like you're saying thank you to your wife. You can't say thank you to your wife when your hands are dirty or your body is dirty. You could say it. You could still say it. And you should say it. So the proper way that he says to do it is, and we'll see that right now, is you first, you sit up. Give yourself a few seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds to first, you know, gain yourself back. You just woke up. Shouldn't rush and jump out of bed. They say even, you know, there's a lot of, in the English, Yaakov Yosef over here, he talks a lot about not jumping out of bed right away. And how doctors, you know, they teach against doing that. It's not healthy for a person to jump out of bed. You should give yourself the amount of time it takes to say Modeh Ani, the full line of Modeh Ani. Give yourself that time. Give yourself 5 to 10 seconds. Then, as you're sitting, you can say, or as you stand, you say Modeh Ani Lefanecha, you say Modeh Ani right then and there. Should be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Should be the first thing, yes.
So it's not as soon as you gain consciousness in the morning when you're lying down, you say it's sitting, you start sitting up.
Yes, very good question. I'm just going to repeat your question so anyone who's listening to the recording can hear you. Yes, you can say, yes, he asked if you need to say it lying down. No, you don't have to say it lying down. When you wake up, you can give yourself 5, 10 seconds, however long you need to, you know, bring yourself back to your normal self. Sit up, stand up, whatever it is. And then before you go out and about your day, you say Modeh Ani right then and there. That's the best thing to do. Yeah. If you want, you can. Even again, because Modeh Ani doesn't have any Kedusha in it. You're just saying, thank you Hashem for returning my soul. It's not words of Kedusha. You can even say without a kippah, technically speaking. So if easy way is kippah by your side. But if you don't have it, still, you can say Modeh Ani, and I've done this many times, even without a kippah. It's like, imagine you're going to bed, or you, whatever it is, you don't have a kippah on your head for whatever reason. You're going to bed, you just came out of the shower, whatever it is. You want to say thank you to your wife, your mom, your sister, your sibling. Can't say thank you without a kippah. You're allowed to say thank you. Why can't you say anything with Kiddusha, if it has Hashem's name in it, or anything along those lines, Elokeinu, Hashem, those things you need to have a kippah or a shirt covering. But if you don't have Hashem's name, then you're allowed to do it even without them. Obviously, you should have undergarments on, but a shirt is not necessary. Good? Yeah. Very good question. Very good question. Is a hand considered a kippah? This is a very important halakha to learn, because it's not only in this law, but your own hand is not a kippah. You're not allowed to use your own hand. You're allowed to use your own sleeve. It can be your own like arm sleeve, like this. You have an actual sleeve on your arm, and you cover your head with a sleeve. It can't be your physical body, though. So it can't be this. This doesn't count. I see many people do this. This is nothing. It's as if you don't have a head covering. So if you're making a bracha, for example, either a kippah, your sleeve, or you can have someone else's hand. I remember one time we were on the Israel trip a very long time ago, and we were trying to make a minyan with someone with Kaddish. So I had a kippah. Most of the people didn't have kippot. So what we did, I still have the video. We had a train of 20 guys. Everyone had a hand on the next person's head, like this. It was like this. Every person. That's allowed. You're allowed to have someone else's hand on your head, but your own hand, your own body parts can't count as a head covering because it's your own physical body. Yeah?
For brachas,
exactly. For saying Hashem, when you have Hashem's name in it. Dvarim shebekdusha.
You have to have a shirt on?
For? It depends. It depends. Generally speaking, not necessarily, but it's good to have any time you have Hashem's name, it's good to be dressed. But not necessarily speaking. If you're praying, for example, if you're praying a tefillah, obviously you should be dressed. But if you're just making a bracha on something, let's say, for example, someone comes out of the shower, they're not wearing a shirt yet, obviously you always have to have your privates covered. But if you're not wearing a shirt yet, you could still make, as long as your hands are clean, you can make a bracha. That's perfectly fine. Yeah? Yes. Yes, you're allowed to do it while you're laying down. Also, just give yourself 5 to 10 seconds to recover from the sleep, as I'll call it. Because it's important that it's important that Modeh Ani doesn't just become, and for most people, myself included, it can become a very meaningless, just a phrase that we say every day. But if it's going to be something meaningless to you, it would be better that you give yourself a couple minutes even, wait for you to really bring yourself back to your normal mind, the normal self, that you can really understand what you're saying, and have even the meaning of the Lamborghini analogy. Even have that meaning, that Hashem has faith in us every day, that's a good enough meaning to have that. At least you know, when you're saying the line, that Modeh Ani, you're thanking Hashem, you have meaning in it. It's not just I'm saying it as a robotic routine that goes on in my everyday. No, it actually has meaning. The Gemara says, Rachmana libabaye. Hashem, He doesn't want us just to pray. He doesn't want lip service. That's not what He wants. Hashem wants our hearts. He wants us to feel it. It's more important for him to feel it from our hearts than for him to feel it with our lips. Because our lips don't matter if we don't feel it in the heart. Yeah? Modeh Ani? No, Modeh Ani you can say anytime. Say Modeh Ani anytime. That's fine. Ideally you should say it right when you wake up before anything, but you can say it at any time. You can say it anytime. Yeah. Oh, you're asking about Netilah Yadayim now. You're saying, if someone didn't do Netilah Yadayim in the morning, can you do it in the afternoon?
Yeah.
So technically speaking, as long as you didn't do Netilah Yadayim yet that day, you still have obligation, as long as it's daytime, you have obligation to do Netilah Yadayim.
Now what if you washed Netilah Yadayim, let's say he had a bagel for breakfast, you washed his hands for Sayyidina Mursi, but the Netilah Yadayim was designated for
I wouldn't wash. If you washed already for something, you didn't Netilat Yadayim on something, then you wouldn't wash again. But it's good to make it into like your daily routine that like, you know, this is actually why, we won't get into it here, but I'll discuss it right now. And you know, in short, it's important that a person, it's a halakha actually, a person doesn't do business before he prays in the morning. It's a halakha. There's a question even about answering business emails. Or allowed to answer business emails. You know, Rabbi Ben Chaim himself, Rabbi Ben Chaim does some stocks on the side. I asked him, I said, you ever look at your portfolio before you pray? He says, Chas v'shalom. He never would look at, he says, you can't do business before you pray. Because the worry is exactly what you're saying, that person may get busy in his business or busy in his daily things that he does, that he'll forget to come to pray, or he'll forget to come to do, you know, the mitzvot, or forget to do Netilat Yadayim, or forget to come and do the tefillah. So therefore, it's important to first do your tefillot, and only then after you do your daily needs of what you need to do. So if a person has business, you need an answer, make sure you get up early and pray early. Yeah.
Does it have to be at the full shot rate? Let's say you're doing international, they're going to go to sleep by the time you finish shot. So can you say, is there a minimum that you can...
It's a good question. So what I usually try to guide people to do is, ideally try to have your tefillah come before any business, or any emails, or anything like that. If you're in a situation where, like you're explaining, where if I don't, you know, deal with this before, then I'll get stuck. So there's a few things you can do. One, you say Birkot HaShachar. Do your Netilat Yadayim and all of your brachot in the morning first. And set an alarm for yourself that obviously you remind yourself that you don't miss any of the times for tefillah. There's the latest time for Shema. There's a later time for tefillah. There's a minyan time. So you set an alarm for yourself that you won't miss it. As long as you have the alarm, you have a reminder, so then you shouldn't be any worry if it's in a situation like that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Again, if you need to, and you need to... Somebody once asked me about going to the gym. Can you go to the gym before you pray? So I told him, I said, look, say your brachot in the morning, but at the end of the day, going to the gym is also for your health. It's important. Sometimes going to the gym, a person needs it in order to wake himself up to go pray. So sometimes it's a mitzvah to go to the gym before you pray. So this is what I told the person. So it depends on what situation. Obviously, work is different. But if it's a need, do your brachot first. Set yourself a small alarm or reminder or something, and then go about your day. Yeah. Any question? Yeah. Oh, very good question. So the question is, if somebody started drinking and they didn't realize, oh, I didn't make a bracha, what do I do? Very good question. So there's, huh? Good question also. So there's a difference between, is it a question on his question?
Okay.
Very good. What if you have the drink in your mouth and then you realize? Very good, very good. Baruch Hashem. These are questions of Talmidei Chachamim. So the answer is like this. It depends if it's food or drink, but I'll explain it to you in simplicity. For a drink, you can't make a bracha while there's drink in your mouth. So what you can do is you can swallow, like Mick said, and then you make a bracha on the next sip. On the next sip. Sometimes what people do is if they're not anywhere around people that it won't be repulsive or disgusting, and there's a sink next to them, they'll just spit the water out and make a bracha on the next one. But if that will be repulsive in front of others, you definitely should not do that. You swallow, and you make a bracha on the next. Okay, that's for a drink. For food, it's a little bit different. Because let's say a person takes a food, piece of food, and puts it in his mouth, and he goes, eh, I didn't make a bracha. Food is not like a drink that, you know, if you ever try to make a bracha with a drink in your mouth, it's going to sound like this. Blah, 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 blah. You can't. No, with food, you can push the food to one side of your mouth, and you can still make the bracha. So with food, if it's you know, if it's food, you can push the food to the side of your mouth and make the bracha with the food in your mouth. That's the halacha. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's with food. Any other questions on those topics? Good to continue? Yes. Can I ask? No problem. What's that? Tefillin question? Okay, tefillin we'll deal with after. We'll get there. It seems like a lot more of the questions come up with the tefillah. Maybe we should focus on those things. We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. The next halakha. Halakha vav. Katana yode ledaber. If a child knows how to speak already, 2-3 years old already, tov v'nachon lahargilo lomar mekomo, it's good to teach him to say Modeh Ani and to teach him to do Netilat Yadayim already from a young age. Generally speaking, 3 years old already, you should already start teaching your child. That's the age where they, you know, they give a haircut, so they teach them how to have a Jewish haircut. You teach them to start doing Netilat Yadayim. You teach them to start saying Modeh Ani. If you can do it from earlier, how much greater, how much better. But that's when the time you start being Mechanech, then you start educating them in those things. That's a good thing to do. Miyad she'aor mishinato. Right away when you wake up, yakum b'sizul avodat boro itbarach v'italei. You should get up. Mikol makom lo yakum miyad, but don't run, jump up right away, like we spoke about. Ela yishem mihat. Give yourself some time. He actually talks about it here. Interestingly, says there are, the Gemara says there are five behaviors in the footnote. He says that a person that brings a person closer to death than to life, and one of them is to jump up immediately after. After waking up from sleep. So this is something that could bring someone closer to death. This is what the Gemara says. I'm sure there are some things that, you know, there are also doctors that have taught about this also, that a person shouldn't jump out of bed right when they wake up. Give yourself that 5 to 10 second, you know, leeway time, and then get up out of bed after that. Wow. Beautiful, wow. He said that he used to have migraines for many years, and he asked the rabbi what to do. He said, do you say Modeh Ani? He said, no. So he started saying Modeh Ani. Within a few months, it went away. Look, I definitely believe in these things. You know, like, there are many stories I can tell you off the recording. These are not for the recording, but off the recording, I can tell you personal stories of things that I've seen. I had something recently this past week that blew my mind, that I'm still recovering from understanding how Hashem is so amazing that he can show you his hands. It's like Hashem talks to you directly sometimes and we just don't realize it. Huh? Can I start the recording early? we'll talk after. Okay, we'll go to the next halacha. Mitzvah Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. It's important. Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. For a person to have this line of, I place God constantly in front of me. God is always before me. This is a very important rule in righteous people who are walking in the ways of Hashem, that you have this rule in front of you, that Hashem is always in front of me. You should always imagine that you're standing in front of Hashem. Hashem is standing here right in front of me. Hashem, His honor fills the whole world. Hashem is present. This is why Halakha actually says it's good for a person that it's good that you shouldn't even walk without a kippah. Why? It's not an obligation, but it's good that a person shouldn't. Why? Because Hashem says, Malek, the Gemara says, Malek kol ha'aretz kevodo. His honor fills the whole world. So he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. He's on top of us, he's below, he's everywhere. So I have to always have something on top of my head to remind me that Hashem is always above me. Hashem is always in front of me. It's a reminder. So this is the same thing over here. You should always have this concept in your mind, right when you wake up also, that Hashem is in front of me. How would I act if Hashem, if I saw Hashem and Hashem was standing right here in front of me? And he says that a person, the way they are in their home, and the way they act and accustom themselves, when they're sitting by themselves, is not the same way as they would when they're sitting in front of an important person. Imagine you have an important customer you're going to meet with. Or you're going to sit with your kids. You're going home tonight. How would you dress? How would you act? How would you accustom yourself? Sitting with an important customer, you're going to go on your phone texting in front of them. You're going to go dress in a t-shirt and jeans. Meanwhile, there are some places that the custom over there is in these certain areas, like Ohio and different areas, where they really, that's how they dress. Like, you go to important meetings. One time I went to an important meeting, and went in like a suit and tie. I got there at a business meeting. All of a sudden, I walk in, I see they're wearing like t-shirt, jeans, like no button downs even. It's like some places that have this minhag. But generally, you walk in front of an important person. That's not how you dress. That's not how you custom yourself. So imagine now you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're standing in front of the King of the world all the time. How are you going to dress? How are you going to accustom yourself? How are you going to talk? How are you going to present yourself? Imagine Hashem, when you're praying in the Kanisa, Hashem is standing there. You're going to, while the minyan, while the Torah is being read, you're going to talk. While the things going on, how do you act when those things come up? It's very important. This is what Shiviti Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. You always have Hashem on your forefront. And he says, Velo diboro v'archavat piv kirtzono, when you talk to people, it's not the same way as you would talk if Hashem was present or a king was present. And he says, "V'kol sheken k'shishim yasim ha'adam el libo shamelach gadol hakadosh baruch hu shamelach kol shavado omed alav ve'ro'ev ma'asav." If you think for a second that the King of the world, the Creator of the world, is standing right in front of me, and His honor fills the world, He's standing right in front of us. If you think for a second like that. As it says in Yirmiyahu Navi, "Im yisater ish v'mistarim v'ani lo ha'erenu ne'um Adonai." It says, can anyone hide in secret chambers that God can't see him? Anyone can hide from Hashem. Even when you're in the hidden, most hidden place in the world, you're hiding in your room behind locked doors, Hashem still sees you. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're doing. Person has business. People, a lot of times, they do things in business. Nobody has any idea. He says, no one will ever find out. No one will audit. No one will this. No one will that. He says, but Hashem knows. If Hashem knows, is it worthwhile to do something? A lot of times, I get questions from people that ask me, is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Should I do this? Is it honest, integrity, this, that? I say, ask yourself, if Hashem was standing here in the room with you, would you do it or would you not do it? I said, most times, you ask yourself the question, the answer is no. If the answer is no, then it shouldn't even be a question. It's only a question because you're trying to find loopholes. But if you truthfully know that all of the blessing comes from Hashem, you want to do what's honest so that you receive Hashem's greatest blessing, then you would never want to do things in a deceitful way. And that's exactly what he's saying. You act the way you would in front of Hashem. Miyad tagei alav ha'yir'ah ve'achna'ah epachad Hashem yitbarach u'b'boshto imenu tamin. And exactly that, this will bring a person to a place of fear, a place of humility in front of Hashem, and you'll have a type of like feeling of embarrassment to an extent, where you're thinking, Hashem is in front of me at all times. This is important. It's written in Halakha that you should be thinking at all times, Hashem is in front of me at all the time. How can I change my thought process if Hashem is sitting right here? And he says, "Ubal nefesh al yotzim machshavazo minegen einav." Someone who's a pious person, he should never let this thought leave his mind. Hashem is always in front of me, all times. V'yamik bazeh. You should go deeper in this thought process. Think deeper in it. And if you do that, that's how you'll become a tzaddik. You want to become a tzaddik? You constantly think, Hashem is right here, Hashem is right here, Hashem is right here. V'yom yom yosif v'prishut v'kut v'yidbarach. When doing so, it'll increase your closeness to Hashem by deviating yourself from things that Hashem wouldn't want you to do. Yeah.
How do you actually do that?
Ah, very good question. How do you actually do that? So, I'll tell you like this. I mean, you're not married yet. B'ezras Hashem, you get married very soon. But anyone who's ever been married, you know there's something called infatuation. You know what infatuation is? There's many books that write about this. There's a book called, and I recommend this to everyone, it's called The Five Love Languages. Anyone ever heard of it? Very good book. I have this book in my house. I read this all the time. Genius. It's a non-Jewish book, non-Jewish author, but he's a genius. He talks about the five love languages that has to do between husband and wife, or in relationships. And he opens your eyes really to realize, I mean, not about a marriage talk, but really I'll explain what he talks about. He opens your eyes to realize that there are so many times that you're trying to show love to your spouse or in a relationship where you don't really know how to show love to another person because you don't know what their true love languages are. And if you even just read the book, it'll open your eyes to see where those love languages are. For an example, sometimes one spouse loves gifts, the other spouse does not like gifts. So the one who loves gifts thinks, I love gifts, my spouse must love gifts also. You always go to give them gifts, but that's not what brings them their love. Sometimes for them, what brings them love is the other love quality, which is quality time. Just for an example. So why did I say this? You asked, how do you know, how do you get to the point of having Shiviti Hashem like Ditami, that always Hashem is at the forefront of my mind. Infatuation is something that people go through. Science, the doctors talk about it. In the first 2 years of finding their loved one, they go through something called infatuation, which basically means they're in la-la land. They go into this dreamland where everything's perfect. They love this fiancé or spouse or whatever, and there's nothing that could go wrong, and everything's perfect. They get married, and they start having kids, and everything. 2 years pass, and then all of a sudden, they get a little shock. They wake up. Infatuation ends. Generally, it takes about 2 years. And then you start to open your eyes and realize, hold on a second. How come I never noticed this flaw and that flaw and this character trait and that character trait and all of this and what's going on here? And the truth behind it is because the infatuation, the love, kind of blocks you from seeing any negatives, any bad. So what happens is that you have to start working on, essentially is what he talks about in the book, in the five love languages, you have to actually start working on your marriage. It's not like, I loved her once, I love her forever. There was a story, I told this to someone today, I said, there was a husband and wife, they were in big shalom bayit problems. Big shalom bayit problems. The wife was saying, my husband said, he never says he loves me. Well, he never says he loves me. So they go to the rabbi, they sit with the rabbi. So the rabbi says, what's the problem? So the woman says, the female says, my husband never tells me he loves me. He looks at the man, he says, is this true? He goes, yeah, it's true. Says, what's wrong with you? Like, why just say you love her? Why don't you say you love her? Says, I told her I loved her when we got married under the chuppah. Nothing changed. So I don't have to repeat myself again. My mind didn't change. That's not how it works though. You have to repeat it over and over and over again. And you have to tell them every day how much you love them. It's not like you told them once and that's it. Tamum shodarav. No, every day you have to tell them. So same exact way why I'm talking about this, because it connects it back to, and Shlomo HaMelech talks about this in many ways, that you're the same way you have love for a spouse and for a woman, is the same way you have that love for Hashem. Is that something that, yes, you can have an infatuation stage, even with Hashem, you can get to a stage where you love Hashem and you're in like this love struck with Hashem, but then it gets to a point where you actually have to work on it. And that every day, you're constantly working on your service of Hashem by constantly placing this in your mind, saying, why do I love Hashem? I appreciate Hashem because of this that He gives me and that that He gives me. And you're constantly bringing more of why I love Hashem, reasons and appreciation and gratitude, which brings you to that Shiviti Hashem Lanigdi Tamid. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Okay, I think we'll stop there for tonight. And B'ezrat Hashem, next time we'll continue from there. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Rabbi Chanan ben Kasha Omer. Ratza HaKadosh. Should we wait 1 minute for... We'll wait 1 minute.